All right, let's start with a word of prayer, shall we? Oh, Father, thank you for your holy word. And Lord, for all that it teaches us. Lord, there is nothing that happens in this life that hasn't already happened to someone else. And Lord, your word tells us many experiences of the men of God. And Lord, as we look at David today, Lord, help us to see all that he faced and how he cried out to you, how he declared who you were through all that he faced. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. All right, please turn with me to 2 Samuel 22, please. 2 Samuel chapter 22. It's a little more difficult up here because I am right-handed and I have to do everything left-handed because of my hand. So if I'm a little slower, you know why. I mean, I am slow usually, but I'm a little slower now with this. So, all right, let me read that to you. 2 Samuel 22, verse 1. Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song. On the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust. Excuse me, my shield and the horn of my salvation. My stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death just confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and what cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry just entered his ears." I'm going to stop there. It should be 1-7. We've all already looked at the first three verses. I'm going September 30th last year. And what verse 1 there says, let's review. Verse 1 says, "And then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song." And that word "spoke" meant there to commune, to what speak to. And so David's praying to the Lord. Who is the Lord? He's a self-existent or eternal. He's Jehovah. Verse 1b says, "On the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and just from the hand of Saul." And that word "deliver" means to snatch away, to defend, deliver, escape, to pluck, preserve, recover, rescue, save, to take out. You know, David had many enemies, but the Lord delivered him. Just the Lord took him out of that trouble. And then verse 2, "And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." And what notice, first of all, it is personal. David constantly said, "My Lord, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer." He had a personal just relationship with God. The root meaning of rock means to be lofty, a craggy rock, a stronghold. It was stronghold of Jehovah, of what security. David found security not in money, not in possessions, but in the Lord. And then the word "fortress" means fastness. It's a castle, defense. It was stronghold, strong place. And then deliver means to slip out, that is to escape, carry away safe, calls to escape. Think how many times David was almost captured by King Saul. But God caused David to be able to escape. God delivered him over and over and over again. It means to save, slip away, to bring into security. And then we looked at verse 3. The God of my strength, in whom I will trust. Yeah. And what? Notice again. My strength, I will trust. My shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. Notice the personal and just connection here David had with God. And the word God there means supreme God, the true God. Strength means rock, boulder, refuge, strength, strong. And trust means to put trust in, specifically God, confide or hope in God. And just the root word means to seek refuge, to flee for protection. When what David had trouble, he sought God for protection. Shield means just figuratively a protector. And he would scaly hide of a crocodile. Buckler, defense, scale, shield. That's what God was to David. And then that word horn, the horn means figuratively power or what strength. God was David's strength. And then the word salvation means their deliverance, rescue, safety, welfare, prosperity, victory. Whatever David faced, God was his victory. God gave him victory. God rescued him from all the things that he faced. And then what stronghold in that verse means high place, refuge, secure height, retreat, refuge of God, abstractly altitude, an inaccessible place. Nobody could get to David because they had to come through God. And then the word refuge means a place of escape. David could go to God to escape. The word Savior. Yeah. And what save are the same word there. The word Savior means to save, to be saved, to be delivered, to be liberated, to be victorious. Then we come to the word violence. And that has two different meanings here. Violence means wrong, cruelty, damage, false, injustice, unrighteous, violence, violent dealings. Think about all those who were hunting David. Saul, the Philistines, they all just wanted to do violence to David. Sometimes it was David's friend who was lying about David, saying something false. Yeah, and what David needed, God's help. Not only does God save us from the violence of others, but he stops us from doing violence to others. Because we like to get even, don't we? An eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, right? Some people live that way. There is no forgiveness, you know. If you do it to me, I'm going to do it back to you. Well, God, in what David's case, stopped him just from doing evil to Nabal, Abigail's husband. All right. Now we finally get to the new material. 2 Samuel 22, verse 4. And we see some more declarations here. Let me read that to you. And that verse says, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Yeah. Notice David declares, I will call upon the Lord. I will. And that word will call upon means to call unto. to cry for help. It gives the idea of accosting a person. Think about accosting God in prayer. Constantly praying to God for what you need. Every day going before Him. When something comes to mind, you pray. You don't say to yourself, I can handle this. No, you go right to God. This is accosting God in prayer. That's what that word call upon means. We're going to see that throughout this passage here. This same word appears numerous times to accost God with prayer. We don't pray enough. We let things go by. But as with David faced struggles, David saw it as an occasion for prayer. And what David prayed. Who did he pray to? The Lord. Self-existent or eternal. Jehovah, Jewish national name of God, the proper name of the one true God. That's who David sought. I will call upon the Lord. Look at Isaiah, please. Turn there with me. Keep your finger in Isaiah 22, please. I'm sorry, 2 Samuel 22. Yep, and then turn with me to Isaiah chapter 30. All right. And then verse 19, and it says this: For the people shall dwell in what Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. What a promise. What a promise. When you cry, he will answer you. At the sound of what your cry, when he hears it, he will answer you. Accost God with prayer. Isaiah is here telling the people who would dwell in Zion to cry unto the Lord. Cry unto the Lord. They were facing persecution and trouble. Cry unto the Lord. Don't think you can do it alone. Cry unto Him. And then Matthew 7:7. It says this: Ask, and it will be given to you. So ask, seek, and you will find. Ask, seek, knock. And it will be open to you. Notice, it's a simple asking. But now it's gone further. Now you're seeking. But then it's a step further. Now you're knocking. And what? Notice the what promises. It will be given you. You will find. It will be open to you. We need to accost God through prayer. Seek Him. Pray to Him. Often. Then David declares, who is worthy to be praised. David's going to call upon Him. But David also knows God is worthy to be praised. Who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. Worthy there, to be praised means to be clear, to shine, hence to make a show, to boast, or what make a boast, to praise, as what David sees those answers to his cry, He's going to show God forth. He's going to make it clear that this is my God and this is what he does. He's not going to boast about himself, but he's going to boast about God. And God has heard my cry, and God has answered. And I'm going to tell others about it. I'm not going to keep it to myself. If I've got an answered prayer, I'm going to tell others. David, it is declaring, my God, again, it's personal, is just worthy to be praised. There's no one like him. And David wants everyone to know. I'm going to praise him out loud. Verse 4 again. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And again, that word saved means to save, be saved, be delivered. We've seen this before. To be liberated, to be free, to be victorious. By implication, to be safe. David is declaring he shall be saved from his enemies. And that word from means from or what out of, removing or expelling. And what that goes back to some somewhat previous verses there. Let's see. Verse 1. Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song. On the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. David saw that. He experienced that over and over again. And that word enemies again means hating, an adversary. It means enemy, foe. Same as verse 1. And you know, we have enemies too, don't we? Sometimes it's our neighbors. You know, they've got nothing good to say about us sometimes. I have some of those. Should say had some of those. Some of them have since moved on. But sometimes it's, you know, people that just we work alongside. Yeah, I used to have a guy who said a lot of things about me. You know, I didn't hate him. But he was an enemy. Nothing good to say. Nothing good to say. He was an adversary, hating me. David experienced that as well. Some of the commentaries. David Guzik says, David experienced the Lord's deliverance from Goliath. You know, David saw God guide that stone to the forehead of a giant Goliath. Oh, yeah, David had to do that slinging, right? But God guided that stone right to the right spot. Bam. Second, from Saul. Numerous times King Saul had David surrounded. Numerous times, but he was delivered. From backsliding, making some bad choices. God saw Saul. David saw God restore him. Think with Bathsheba. From Israel's enemies. From the Philistines who were constantly hunting David as well. And then from his own son Absalom. And also just from his own sinful passions, David saw the Lord's deliverance over and over again. David also says, David didn't say this. David Guzik, he also says, when we see God for who he is, then it is easy to trust him. When we know he is our rock, and fortress, and deliverer, and shield, and what stronghold and Savior. It is natural to then trust Him completely. And then what Spurgeon says is, if I feel that I can and do bless the Lord for all His past goodness, then I am bold to ask great things of Him. If you've seen God work, you'll ask for more. David was experiencing that. And then Robert Hawker says, reader, do not forget that these are the natural, the what gracious consequences of having relationship in and what interest with our God in Christ Jesus. We can expect deliverance too. We can expect God's hand to move for us as it did for David. And then Matthew Henry says, what we have found in God that is worthy to be praised should engage us to pray to Him and give glory to Him. 2 Samuel 22:5, please. Let's move on here to the next verse. Verse 5. When the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. Waves of death. That word wave means a breaker. What billow. Gives the idea of just waves dashing violently on the rocks. You can picture that, can't you? There you are standing at the ocean and you see these waves crashing on the rocks. Mike had that experience, right, Mike? Knocking off your glasses, right? That wave hit you. Now, it wasn't that violent, though, probably, but but it was enough to knock you over, to knock those what glasses off. In what this case, David experienced what felt like wave that constantly hit him. And that word death means death, natural or what violent. Figuratively, it means pestilence or what ruin. There were those always after David to ruin him, to harm him, to kill him. It was like wave after wave. And that word pestilence means with serious infectious disease or something evil. Now I can just picture David. He is in a stronghold, but he senses evil. Have you ever sensed that? I know I have. There was just something wrong. Something wasn't right, and it was spiritual. Well, it appears David sensed that. And it was like waves breaking upon him. And that word surrounds means to encompass. He felt it all around him. He was cornered. He was surrounded. But God sent the Philistines to attack, and King Saul left. One instance of that. David was almost captured. He felt it upon him. He was surrounded, but he was delivered. Think about waves of evil surrounding David. Wherever he looked, there was evil. Death all around. Think in battle as he is fighting. I would happen to like, you know, movies like that. Where just you've got the hero And you've got a battle all around him. Death all around him in the scene. I see Cody smirking. Well, this was David. Next, when the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. And the word flood means a torrent. This gives the idea of a quick rush of water into a valley which, floods it. That's what David was feeling. It is like this wave coming down the valley channel right to where I am. And I'm up to here. I'm about to drown. In what this case, it's the flood of ungodliness. Have you ever been in a place where there's evil and you can just feel it? And you don't want to be there? Well, it appears David's right there in that place where he can feel the ungodliness all around him. And the word ungodly means without profit, worthlessness, by extension, destruction, wickedness. It was all around David. It was like a flood. It was like a torrent. It was like a wave pounding on him. Sometimes our friends are like that. If we have bad friends, if we have friends who don't know the Lord, they're like that wave who are constantly getting us to move their way. Constantly. Hey, let's go into this store. I want to get a candy bar. But you don't realize their plan is to steal it. And when you realize it, you feel filthy. Yeah, it's ungodliness. This torrent flood of ungodliness made David afraid. It scared David. It made him fear. And that word afraid means to make to fear, to terrify, startle, dismay, to be overtaken by sudden terror. It appears he didn't realize what was happening. And there it was, sudden terror. Psalm 69, turn with me there, please. Psalm 69. And this is a psalm of David as well. And this is what he says in Psalm 69, verse 14 and 15. All right, this is what it says. David said, deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut its mouth on me. David Guzik says, waves, floods, sorrow, snares, danger surrounds David on every side, physically, spiritually, emotionally, socially. David was on the brink of just ruin when he cried out to God. When he accosted God, there appeared to be nothing else to do. And Adam Clark says, when the waves of death compassed me, though in a primary sense, many of what these things belong to David. Yet generally, and just fully, they belong to the Messiah alone. You can see Jesus in this same passage. What David faced, the Lord Jesus faced even more powerful than what David faced. And let's move to verse 6, all right? 2 Samuel 22:6, which reads, "The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snare of death confronted me." And that word sorrow there means a rope, as what twisted. A noose, as of cords. But it also means just ruin or pain. So David was facing much here. There was much sorrow. And it felt like a noose around his neck. And the word Sheol means hell, the underworld, grave pit, the world of the dead. He was surrounded by great evil, he sensed. The word surround means to encompass or to border, revolve, and circle. Again, David felt surrounded by this great evil. And it was like a noose on his neck. David felt the sorrows of hell surrounding him. Maybe from his own sin here, possibly as well. David felt some guilt. He also felt the snares of death. The snares of death. 2 Samuel 22:6 again. "The sorrows of Sheol just surrounded me. And the snares of death just confronted me." And that word snare, and just again, means a noose for catching animals. Wasn't David hunted like an animal? I would believe David felt that way. A hook for the nose, a trap, a lure. Think about the devil. Doesn't he dangle things in what front of us to hook us? David felt that way. Snare of death confronted David. And that word death again means pestilence, ruin, and death, natural or violent. David is just rehearsing it over and over again through this passage. The word confronted means to prevent, to come, or be in front, to forestall. Whatever this was, it stopped David in his tracks. And he could go no more. It forestalled him. Stopped him in his tracks. Doesn't that sometimes happen to us? We're moving forward for the Lord, and when something happens, and we stop, and we don't do anything more. We stop, and we just stand there. Some of the commentaries. Matthew Henry says he was surrounded with death on every side, threatened to be overwhelmed, and saw no way of escape. So violently did the waves of what death beat upon him, and so strongly did the cords and snares of death hold him, that he could not help himself any more than a man in the grave. To accost God in prayer. David had to cry out to the Lord. There was nothing more David could do. Then verse 7, we're going to finish up here. Verse what 7 says in 2 Samuel 22, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and what cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears." Again, now that word distress means a tight place. Trouble, anguish, hard pebble. Think about a rock in your shoe. It just distresses you, doesn't it? About a half year ago, I didn't know this, but I had a screw in my sneaker. And I didn't know it. Because with just neuropathy, I could not feel it. But one day, I had on white socks. And as I took them off, well, there's blood. Like, what's going on? I didn't know I was in distress. That wasn't a hard pebble. It was a screw stuck through my sneaker. And I had a round circle where it had just worn through my skin. Now, it all cleared up. It's fine. But still, there was distress on my foot. It was like a hard pebble that you can't get rid of. That's how this felt to what David. When he was in what distress, he called upon the Lord. And again, these words, "I called upon," is the same as what verse 4. It means to accost, to call out, to address by name. That's what David did. He was accosting God in prayer. Who should we call upon? The Lord. The self-existent one, Jehovah. That's who we should be accosting. God. Next phrase. "And what cried out to my God." And again, these words "cried out" again is the same word. It means to accost, to a call out, to address by name. He's again calling upon God. We get the idea that David was constantly going to the Lord in prayer because he kept saying it over and over again. And could David have been praying for justice here? Could David have felt, "Lord, I've got all these liars about me, and I want justice to be done"? Psalm 120, verses 1 and 2. It was a song of ascents. And it says this: "In my distress, I cried to the Lord." There's that same word. Yeah. "And he heard me." "Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from the deceitful tongue." This person cried out to the Lord. There were those who were slandering him with lies. He's crying out to the Lord. He's accosting God because of this situation. David then declares, "He heard my cry voice." Yeah, hold on, let me back up there. I don't think that's right. He heard my voice. Sorry. He heard my voice from his temple. Yeah, and the word "hear" means to listen, to intelligently hear, to understand. Aren't you glad when we pray, God hears intelligently? That he's taking time to listen to your prayer. He's not like us parents sometimes. we are working.
Yeah.
And a child asks for something and we only partially hear. And we say, okay. And then our spouse comes to us. Why did you let Junior do that? Yeah. We're not listening intelligently, but God does. God listens intelligently, and He understands everything. And God hears from His temple, or what palace? That word could be translated palace, since He is the King of Kings, right? He is the King. He hears. Then David finishes with, "And my cry entered His ears." And my cry entered His ears. The word cry means there to call for help. To call for help. In all that David faced, he called upon God for help. And David declares that his cry entered God's ears. It just didn't go into space. But his prayers were heard by God's ears. I think of Zechariah here also. I was just taught Elizabeth in the nursing homes. Yes. And what Gabriel told what Zechariah, God has heard your prayers. All with those years, it appeared Zechariah was praying for his wife to have a child. And finally, God heard his prayers and she conceived. He was accosting God with prayer all those years, asking for a son. And finally, it happened. God sent Gabriel to tell him, God has heard your prayer and your wife's going to have a son. Psalm 35, 15 through 34, 15 to 17 reads, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are what open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. And they were righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and what delivers them out of all their troubles." David Guzik says, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord. The enemy of our soul wants us to believe that we can't call upon the Lord in our distress, as if we have to be right with God and just sitting peacefully in a prayer chapel to pray rightly." David knew that God hears our distress signals. God's ears are always open. And he always hears. David knew that God could not hear the distress of his people without taking action on their behalf. When we pray, God hears and God acts. Matthew Henry says, "David has here left us a good example. When we are in distress, to cry unto God with importunity." That word, importunity, means persistent demand. Accosting God for the need you have. And David found God ready to answer out of his temple in heaven, where he is continually served and adored. And John Gill says, "A time of what distress is a time for prayer. And sometimes the end God has in suffering them to be in distress is to bring them to the throne of his grace." Sometimes God allows trouble to bring us closer to him. Application David experienced God in many ways. His experiences helped him to declare who God was and what he did. What are your experiences with God? What do they look like? David had a lot of experience with God. A lot. How well do you know God? Through those experiences, through his prayers, David got to know God in a greater way. Do you use those experiences to make God known to others? This is written down. And look at all that what David declared about God. So many great things. How often do you call upon the Lord? Through those experiences, David knew God could be trusted. That I can call upon him. I can accost him with all my needs. And he will take care of it. David did often. Jeremiah challenged the people to call upon the Lord. Jeremiah 33:3. Do you know this verse? Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that through David's example, through his words, that we are to accost you with prayer. That we are to cry unto you. For our needs. For deliverance. In times of trouble. When we sense evil creeping in on us, we should be praying. We should be accosting you. Father, help us to be doing that more and more. May we cry out to you as individuals. May we cry out to you corporately. Father, if just we're going to move forward, we need to accost you with prayer. Father, help us to be doing that in Jesus' name. Amen.